Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to worship this morning. We gather together this morning to worship God. We gather together to share a holy meal to which Christ has invited us. We all have a place at this table, so welcome to worship. Welcome to this table. We come together now in our first hymn, the hymn number 212. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Come before God in prayer, let us pray. Living God, we come this morning to worship, to celebrate the sacrament of communion, where all are made welcome and we share the bread and wine. We come this morning to worship, thanking you for all that we have and all that we can share. We thank you for the gift of company, of the fellowship around the table, whether it be a family meal or the breaking of bread together as a community of faith. Through the sharing of food, may our relationships deepen, and may our tables be places of laughter and community, of gratitude and thanksgiving for your many gifts to us. Living God, you invite us to the feast of life where all are made welcome. As we take our place at the table, may we be open to welcome all who come together. May our hearts be open to receive your nourishment, and may our trust be sufficient to need only our daily bread. We remember now the times when we have been less than you would want us to be. For these times, forgive us. When we have been thoughtless, forgive us. When we have pushed our prayer to the periphery of our living, forgive us. Lord God, we give thanks for your forgiveness, and hear us now as we come together in prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning. He's still asleep this morning. That's how I felt, because I didn't have a good night's sleep last night. It was just too hot. Well, you haven't that many days left till you're on school holidays, have you? How many? You counting down? Eight. Children not counting down, mum's counting down. 8 days, that's great, and then you're going to have lots and lots of time. I was wanting to ask you if you had any favourite stories or any favourite authors that you like. Does anybody like Roald Dahl stories? Yeah, I quite like those. I read a lot of them. What's the other one I read about? Harry McCleary. I don't know if you've read that one, have you?
I have.
Uh-huh. They're fantastic books, isn't he? He's a big kind of mongrel-looking dog, isn't he? And he's always getting up to mischief, Harry McCleary. So there's lots of good books that you can read. Well, an exciting thing happened to me 2 weeks past Friday. I was invited to Balderknock School because they were celebrating 150 years of being a school. Can you imagine what it would have been like away back then in the school? I'm sure it would be a much tougher place than it is today. And there were lots and lots of people there. There were former pupils, people who had been at that school maybe 50 years ago, or some were a bit younger. And the children, they all, the whole school, because there's only 50 children in that school, they had got together with a percussion leader, and they played all sorts of tunes on drums and with drumsticks. They did I Will Walk 500 Miles, and they did YMCA, and oh, it was good fun. It was really good. Anyway, I was talking to a lady who just happened to be standing next to me, and she said that she had gone to that school many years ago. And so I asked her what she did now, and she said that she used to work for Radio Scotland. And she used to work with a man called David Campbell. And he did a lot of Scottish religious service, and he wrote lots and lots of nice books. Anyway, she said to me, I'll send you a copy. I've got quite a few copies. And you know how somebody sometimes says to you, I'll send you a copy, and it never arrives. So, ye of little faith, being me here, I thought, maybe I'll get it, maybe I'll not. Well, true to her word, on Tuesday morning of the next week, here arrived this book, and it's called Tales to Tell. And it's an assortment of stories. Some are parables the way you've never heard them before. Some are stories of Jesus the way you've never heard them before. There's also stories about missionaries and about the saints. And I wanted to share one to you. I just thought they were so good, I thought I'd share one. Have you got enough time this morning to hear a story, a short hear story? Because we all like stories, don't we? I certainly do. This one's called The Feast in the Cave. So it begins, at first no one in the house really knew what Simon was spending all his pocket money on and all his spare minutes. Not even his sister Katie, who was as bright as any 8-year-old could be and had the nose of a ferret after a rabbit for finding out things. And of course, eventually, Katie did find out. But for a while, Simon would simply slip away mysteriously over the fence at the back of the house and out into the woods and vanish from the face of the earth. Somewhere near the old caravan that was always locked, and at that had once been their mum and dad's on holiday, were going on holidays. Katie asked Simon what he was up to. It's a secret, she said. But no one knows, asked Katie. No one knows, or it wouldn't be a secret, said Simon. Yes, but you know, and that's why it's still a secret. T tell me. I might. Well, tell me something about your secret. And who will you tell? No one, said Katie. No one. No, anybody living or dead, real or in books. Katie had a rich imagination. Okay, I'll tell you, said Simon. And finally, it's a place, he said. What sort of place? A hiding place that no one knows. What is it like? It's like a ship or a palace and a cave and an aeroplane and a temple and a grocer's shop and the inside of a skull. Katie's eyes were wide open. It can't be. It is, Simon said. Where is it? Have you got the courage of a lion? Yes, she said. Would you be afraid in the dark? No. Okay, I'll take you. When? Right now. But it isn't dark. It will be. Do you really have the courage of a lion? Yes, I'm ready. Simon pulled a long blue scarf out of his pocket, like a magician. What's that? That is the dark. Katie laughed and snatched the scarf from Simon and began to wind it round her head and over her eyes. It's dark, she said. Take my hand, little lion, said Simon. And off they went. Katie had no idea where they were going. Through the dark, she went on and on. Now, he says, you need to have a piggyback. Up you jump. Now sit down. And she sat down in the dark and heard a creak sound like a rattle. Walk up this slope, stop, and now sit exactly here on this throne and wait. Katie waited. Another creak, a rattle, a click, a key turning in the lock, more click, click, clicks. Now you can open your eyes. Nimbly, Katie unwound the blue scarf from her head. And what she saw was magnificent. It was every colour of the rainbow. Red and orange and yellow and green and blue and indigo and violet. It's not a ship, not a palace. It's not the inside of a skull. It's like an Aladdin's cave, she said. It's not an Aladdin cave, said Simon. It's the inside of a caravan. And look at these magical lights. They're not magical lights. They're coloured torches. And you're floating on the ceiling. And I'm not floating on the ceiling. I'm lying on my bunk. It's brilliant, she said. Yes, it's brilliant, Simon laughed. How did you get in? Simon held up a big old key. Dad gave me this key. What are you going to do here? I'm going to have a feast. Who are you going to invite? My three best friends. Simon Fox was the cleverest boy in primary 7. He had more computer games than anyone in the school, and he sometimes let Simon play with them. Hilary Smart was a dandelion clock of a blonde curls, and she was everyone's friend and had a flashing smile. Simon secretly thought she was rather lovely. And Jack Rust was as neat as a pin, as sharp as a knife. There's nothing he didn't know about football. And his father had once taken Simon and Jack in his Jaguar to the Premier League match between Celtic and Aberdeen. When are you going to do this? On the 7th of July, said Simon, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Can I help? You can paint the most beautiful invitations in the world and deliver them by hand and bring me back the replies. Invite them to a very special place for an extra surprise and an extra special food. So Katie did this and she delivered them. Stephen and Hilda and Jack, they were all eager to come. And the inside of the caravan was crammed with everything, from 10 sorts of potato crisps to huge birthday cake and decorations. They were magnificent. At 3 o'clock, Simon and Katie were ready and were waiting with an Aladdin's cave full of surprises. Time passed. At 4 o'clock, Katie went to see what had happened. They've all phoned up, she said. Stephen Fox can't come because he's trying out a new Underworld game. Hilda can't come because her friend Chloe is having a tea party. And Jack Rush has had to get the chance to get the last sticker for his football album. So, they can't come. For once, Simon was very angry, but he had no idea what to do. And then he thought, Go out into the street, he said, and invite the first 3 kids you meet to come here at 7 o'clock. Katie was delighted at this, and off she skipped. Dick Snedden's dad was on the dole, and Dick was as tough as a terrier and had 1 pair of worn-out shoes, but when he laughed, it was like bursting a bag of confetti. And Harriet Wong's Chinese name meant Jade Beauty, and she'd been living in the street for only 2 weeks, and she didn't know anyone, but she spoke English with a voice as clear as the river. And red-haired Tom couldn't play games because of his lame leg, and so was always the odd man out, even though he had an imagination of fire. These were the first 3 people that Katie met, and they were surprised and delighted, and at 7 o'clock exactly they came to the caravan. In the evening sunlight, high above the caravan, a beautiful multicoloured kite danced and curtsied in the sky. Below and beside the caravan, 5 laughing children with full stomachs chattered and planned what they were going to do while they watched the technicolour fish swimming above them in the air. Harriet had shown them how to make a Chinese kite. And from Simon, Tom, Dick and Harriet took home from the caravan the 3 secret presents that he had been meant for Stephen, for Jack and Hilda. Now, I just like that story because it was a story that maybe you would have had read in the Bible. Does anyone know what that story is like? But somebody who had a feast, a rich man who had a feast, and he invited all the very, very special people to go, and nobody came. And so he told his servant to go out and invite those, anybody that he found, and had a great feast. And that story tells us that we're all important. Everybody's important, aren't we? Everybody has a place here on this earth, and everyone has a role that they will do. And today we celebrate communion in the church after you go out to Sunday club. And that's special too. And you see, everyone has a welcome here at this communion service, because that is what Jesus meant us to do. So this book called Tales to Tell has lots and lots of different stories in it. I might read you one another day, but each one is so good that I just keep sitting down with a cup of coffee and reading them. So I hope you have a nice morning this morning in Sunday Club. And the hymn we're going to sing this morning is all about stories too. I love to hear the story which angel voices tell.
Before we turn to God's word this morning, we'll remain seated and sing our prayer for understanding. Hymn 722, Spirit of God, come dwell within me. Reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, starting in chapter 9 at verse 35. That's Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. This can be found on page 974 in the Pew Bibles. I'll be reading through to verse 15 of chapter 10. Matthew 9, verse 35. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there, and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We'll continue our service by standing to sing 553, Just As I Am, Without One Plea.
Let us pray. Open our minds to your word and our hearts to your love. Amen. We are now well into the Christian year. Lent, Easter, the Ascension and Pentecost have come and gone, and we are now in the season of ordinary time, a time when we in our worship focus on the ministry of our Lord through the telling of stories, listening to the parables, the teaching and healing of Jesus as he journeyed throughout Galilee. Last week's lectionary reading is perhaps a little similar to this week's reading, for it is in three little vignettes. The first being Jesus' pity for the people. The second, what has become known as the commissioning of the 12. And lastly, the mission of the 12. We have read of the Great Commission, where Jesus sent out his disciples to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Today's reading is Matthew's version of an earlier commission, one where Jesus commissioned the disciples to go out into the world in pairs to teach, to heal, to cast out demons and to raise the dead. Here was the authority given to these ordinary men who Jesus was relying upon for the continuation of his work, his ministry. It was Jesus' compassion and pity for the people that comes to the fore at the beginning of our reading. He knew their spiritual needs were more desperate than the need for physical healing. Jesus saw these people as weary and scattered, sheep without a shepherd, because the religious leaders and teachers of the law, who should have been their shepherds, were trying to lead them away from the one true shepherd. They were more intent on keeping the people shackled. Jesus saw burdened people that were burdened with the rites of religion, the doctrines and the teachings of the Pharisees. And they were being neglected by the very people who should have been enlightened teachers. Throughout his travels in and around Galilee, Jesus had experienced the number of people who flocked to hear him speak and teach. He knew people expected the Messiah and were prepared to receive the gospel. He also knew that there were few people engaged in the teaching of the multitudes. And that is why he urged his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest for more laborers, more to help in the spreading of the good news. In its way, this is at the core of modern mission movement. The hope for people to spread the good news of the gospel. I have always thought that this sending out of the 12 must have been an epic task for the disciples, these ordinary men who had been called and followed. Their instructions were quite clear. The 12 apostles were specifically told to take their message to the Jews and not to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. The message was for the Jews first. Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. They were God's chosen people. They had spent a long time looking for the Messiah, and it was appropriate that the gospel should be shared with them first, spreading the good news to the Gentiles would follow. Now, it wasn't that Jesus didn't want any other nations to hear the good news. It was that, in view of the Jewish history, it was to them that it should first be given. Their second instruction was to heal the sick, bring back the dead to life, heal those who suffered from dreaded skin conditions and drive out demons. But there was a caveat in there. The disciples had received many blessings without paying, so they were to give without being paid. They were to carry no gold or silver, no beggar's bag, an extra shirt or shoes, or even a stick. They were to rely on others so that they would be given what they needed. If they sold their gifts for money, they probably could have made a fortune. At the same time, they would have obscured the message of God's grace. They could accept support to meet their basic needs, but that was it. In the last four verses of today's reading, there is no messing about. No messing about the message. On your travels, go into a house and give them your peace. If you're welcome, stay. But if there are those who do not welcome you, leave that place. Shake the dust off your sandals and go. God will show them there's no mercy on Judgment Day. 18 verses that still carry the same punch that they did in the first century. Although today, mission is done in so many different ways. I read the other day that we have a duty to pray for the conversion of the world. The harvest is just as plentiful now as it was in the time of Christ. Millions of peoples have not heard the gospel, and there are very few people to teach them. There are words that I pondered on. We no longer walk from village to village spreading the good news throughout the ages. Things have changed many, many times. And since the recent pandemic, many churches have taken to creative ways of reaching out, the spreading of the good news. Live stream services, online services, Zoom, just a few ways that people have tried to engage at this time. Now, doing this type of ministry isn't easy. It takes time. And here in St. Paul's, we are grateful to those who have the skills to make it happen. And our morning service is available to those who cannot join us in worship. For the past 2 weeks, I had some old friends staying with me. They live in Denver, Colorado. Rick being from the States and his wife Jean are born and bred Scot. Jean and I met some 30 years ago at Glasgow University while we were studying for our BD, so we really are old friends. Rick is a professor of Old Testament. He's an expert on the prophets, and Jean is a minister too. And last Sunday at midnight, my dining room turned into an online set. There was no one to take their service back home at 316 Denver. And despite being on holiday, they set about doing worship via Zoom. It's a very small church that they have. It's based on John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. Hence its name, 316 Denver. If you remember that verse, it's God so loved the world that he sent his only beloved son. We had many a discussion during the 2 weeks about the mission of the church today. Some of it would have frightened folk at their breakfast, especially when Rick starts talking in Hebrew. But we always came back to the same thing. We always came back to that reliance of the 12 to go and spread the gospel. For those to hear the word and to follow. It would have challenges and it would take time and it wasn't going to be easy. And Jesus told the disciples that the world would be hostile to the message. He didn't give them false hope. Hostility towards the disciples would not cease until some were martyred. In our world today, the church, as it has become, is facing many challenges. In some places in the world, it is indeed facing persecution. But its mission has not changed since the days of our Lord: to spread the good news, the love of God, and the compassion of our Lord. All of this through the power of the Holy Spirit. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Today we come to celebrate the sacrament of communion, a day when we come together to do what was commanded of us. It is a day when we come together in fellowship to remember. It is a day when we remember not only him in bread and wine, but we remember our part in the spreading of the gospel, in our living and in our doing. We have the same commission as those disciples: to spread the good news and to show his love in our daily living. All glory be to him. Amen. The choir sing the morning anthem, "Behold the Man." Praise and music. We pray now for our world. Let us pray. Holy God, you have called us to follow you and to care for our world, to care for the family of humanity around the world, to love not only in words, but in action. And so we offer our prayers of concern for our world. We pray for communities who are facing the devastation of climate change in our world, for those in the many lands that they suffer food shortages, the death of livestock because of the change in the climate conditions. We pray that more be done to help, that we wake up and prepare and respond to this climate emergency that is facing creation. We pray for all around our world who are oppressed and denied opportunities to progress in their lives. In this time of turbulence and change, we pray for wisdom for the leaders of all nations. May their actions and decisions ensure fairness and equity for their people. Where there is conflict or terrorism in our world, may they be reconciliation and the healing of division. May those who wage war cease their hostile ways and bring peace to their land. May they show compassion for those who have been injured by the trials of hostility. The events of this week have brought great sadness. We remember all who were lost on the immigrant ship in the Mediterranean. A tragedy, with so many lives lost. Be with those who have survived as they try to come to terms with what happened. We remember the people too of Nottingham who mourn the loss of the students and our janitor. Be with them and those who were injured. May they know your peace in this time. Lord God, we remember those who are dear to us, those for whom we have a care, those both near and afar. Watch over them and protect them. Be with those who this morning are ill at home or in hospital. We remember all who care for them in the many different ways. We remember too those who mourn today. Be with each and every one. Watch over them in their coming days, granting them your peace. We remember those who have gone before us, who lived their lives in faith and in service, knowing that their help came from you, O Lord. Living God, in your name we humbly ask that we may be your people in our world today, caring for all that we have, our environment, and helping others in any way that we can. We ask all of this in his name and to his glory. All power and honour be to him. Amen. Our communion hymn this morning is the psalm, "Ye gates, lift up your heads on high." Welcome to this table that is open to everyone. John Daniels wrote the short hymn, "As we are gathered, Jesus is here. One with each other, Jesus is here. Joined by the Spirit, washed in the blood, part of the body, the Church of God." We gather in these words to celebrate the sacrament of communion. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come as you commanded, all who love you, responding to your invitation to share this sacred meal. We come to eat bread and to drink wine in remembrance of you. We are here not just to receive bread and wine, but to celebrate everything that they symbolize. The breaking of your body, the shedding of your blood, your life poured out for us and for many, your death which sets us free. We are here to celebrate the many gifts your life and death made possible. Hope in our despair, joy in our sorrow, peace for all, light in our darkness. We are here to receive your forgiveness, to rejoice again in your great mercy, your generous pardon, your unfailing willingness to pick us up after yet any falls, and offer us a break with the past. We come to this table in response to his command, with joy in our hearts and with thankful hearts on this day of celebration. Amen. Hear the words of the invitation to the Lord's Supper according to Paul. The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread and, after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." As the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed them, let us draw near to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this table spread before us. You have not just given us daily bread, but bread of life. We come as commanded, responding to the invitation. We thank you for the opportunity to celebrate the breaking of your body and the shedding of your blood. We give thanks for the wonder of this supper and all it represents. Lord Jesus, we come in awe and in wonder, with joy in our hearts and a song on our lips. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. According to the holy institution, example and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as a memorial of him, we do this, who on the night he was betrayed, took bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it in memory of me." Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, bearer of our sins, Jesus, Redeemer to the world, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, and his blood, which was shed for you. Take, eat. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you, and the cup, which was given for you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for what we have shared, a unique meal and all it represents. Your birth and life gave us a special gift that can never be matched. You came, you lived among us, and you died. You rose again, opening up the new and everlasting life. We gather this day in remembrance. Praise, glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honour, power and might be to you now and forever. Amen. We bring our time of worship to a close this morning as we sing the hymn number 458, At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow.
Thank you.
peace. Into God's gracious care and protection I commit you. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all who you love this day and forevermore.